the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Well, Medicare and Social Security continue to be a major support for not only health care, but income for retirement. Joining me on the program from Social Security is Yolanda York. And Yolanda, let's go through some basics because a lot of people are still unfamiliar with Medicare benefits, when they have to apply, and even Social Security. Let's begin with some basic things. I know Medicare and Social Security have an 800 number. If an individual calls 800 number, can a Social Security representative take their application for Medicare, prescription drugs, or any other kind of program over the phone? Or does this have to be done formally through the website or at a Social Security office?
So for Social Security Medicare, and people need to apply for Medicare at 65, unless you're disabled, you would get it 2 years after you've been on disability. But you would call the 1-800, which is 772-1213, to apply for the benefits for Medicare and the drug prescription plan. My recommendation is for everyone, file online. It just takes 12 minutes to apply for the Medicare Part A or Part B, which covers the 80% of your doctor bill.
What about some other things? Let's begin with things like a Social Security card. I know when I applied for Medicare, I got a Social Security card. What if you lost one? Or let's say you can't find it.
So if you can't find it, we have some good news. First of all, if you just memorize your number, that's really all you should be giving an employer or anyone. An employer can always check with Social Security to verify your Social Security number, make sure that the number and name matches. But to apply for a duplicate Social Security card, you can go to a local office. You can go to a card center. My suggestion would be go onto the website and find out where are these card centers that do duplicate replacement Social Security cards. And the good news is in some states, and actually we have now 12 states in the nation, that you can go online and replace your Social Security card from the computer, from the My Social Security portal. And that's easy. So some of those states are District of Columbia, Idaho, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, Mississippi, Nebraska, North Dakota, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Washington, and Wisconsin. Later on, we'll have the rest of the states, but for now, those states can replace their Social Security card online.
Now, let's talk about something that we hear about often, and that's identity theft. And our Social Security number is used for so many things. If you think, let's say, that your number has been compromised or somebody else is using it, what can you do to rectify that situation?
Well, there's several things that we should all do. And first of all is create a My Social Security account at our website, socialsecurity.gov. If you think that someone's using your number for employment, you check on our website, and then you can see if earnings are being posted to your record. If you see wages that do not belong to you, let Social Security know so we can remove them. You can also contact the Federal Trade Commission online or at their 877-438-4338 and let them know that someone is using your number for credit. You can contact IRS directly, 8 to 8 p.m., and monitor your credit as well.
All right. I want to move on to some basic things on Social Security. Let's begin with when you can receive it, the soonest you can get it, and when is the age for full benefits? I guess maybe a third question that I'd like you to answer for our listeners would be, what about spousal benefits? So let's begin with the soonest you can get it and when you get full benefits.
Right. So there's some key numbers everybody should note, and that's age 62, 65, 66 through 67, and then 70. The earliest you can collect Social Security benefits under retirement is now age 62. So at 62, you could not get 100% of your benefits because you took it early. And everyone should find out what is their full retirement age. If you're born between 1943 through 1954, 66 is full retirement age. So full retirement age, you get 100% of your benefits. If you choose to take it at 62, then you will only get 75% of your benefits. So there's a reduction in the amount.
Now, what about a spousal benefit? So let's say most couples today, husband and wife, are working. But let's say the husband was the main breadwinner. And so he's got a larger benefit. And let's say maybe the wife stayed home, raised kids, and only started to work or only maybe worked part-time. And her benefit might be less than her husband's. What are the options that her spouse has for Social Security benefits?
Well, this is a great part about Social Security. It really does cover everyone in the family. So if you are eligible for both your own retirement benefit and for benefits as a spouse, we will always pay you the benefits based on your record first. So as an example, I am married. I am eligible for Social Security benefits of, let's say, $500 on my own Social Security. But my husband's benefit happens to be $2,000 a month. As a spouse, I can receive 50% of the retired worker's full benefit. So out of $2,000, I would be eligible to get $1,000 as a spouse. But this is, again, at full retirement age. So now I have my $500 that I'm eligible on my record and an additional $500 from him to bring me up to the $1,000. He gets his $2,000 a month and I get $1,000. So our household now gets $3,000 a month.
Let's take another situation, Yolanda, where let's say I like to get my Social Security benefits, but I also have a part-time job. I know that there's kind of a phase out of Social Security benefits. Can you explain when that occurs, at what age, and what the percentage is?
Yeah, so Social Security uses depending on your age to determine how much you can earn before we have to reduce your benefits. So if you are younger than full retirement age, $1 of benefits will be reduced for each $2 that you earn over the annual limit. So for 2016, if you're between the ages of 62 and 66, you can earn $15,720 in wages and for self-employment. This does not include your royalties. This does not include your interest. This is just wages or self-employment. And if at the year of full retirement age, it's unlimited earnings. So if you become 66 the month of July, starting with the month of July, you can earn $1,000,000 and your Social Security benefits would not be reduced.
So if you retire at full retirement age, in this case, for most boomers, that's going to be age 66, Gen Xers 67, you can continue to work. Let's talk about some changes that went into effect as of April this year. That's the file and suspend and file and restrict. A lot of those benefits have been removed, although they're still there. So let's assume, Yolanda, that I turn age 66. I am still working. I really don't need my Social Security benefits, but I'd like those Social Security benefits to grow. Let's talk about what happens between age 66 and 70, and then what happens after age 70.
All right. So good choice, because if you don't collect your Social Security benefits at full retirement age, 66, as an example, you will be awarded 8% more per year on your Social Security benefits. So between 66 through 70, it grows 8% per year. So that would be an additional 32% that your benefit would be increased to. At 70, you really should file for your benefits, because at that time, there is no additional delayed retirement credit available.
So it grows at 8% a year. So if you continue to work and don't need the money, it might be to your advantage to allow those benefits to grow. And also, Yolanda, doesn't that also provide a benefit for your spouse if you delay, although she may not be able to get it? But let's say that most women outlive men, your spouse would get a larger benefit in the long run as well.
Exactly. So a widow gets to inherit those delayed retirement credits. And I'll give you a quick example of that. The maximum benefit we pay right now is $2,639. So we take the high 35 years of your lifetime earnings, drop the lowest five. So if you had earned maximum wages every year in the last 30 years, and right now, if you earn $118,000 this year in 2016, that's the max you pay on Social Security. So that's what you would get, $2,639. If you choose not to collect this money and wait till 70, by accruing that 8%, it now has grown to $3,576. So here you have a couple. Wife decides to start taking her Social Security benefits early, let's say, for an example, at 62. The husband delays until 70. Well, in the meantime, they're getting income to their household. She's getting her Social Security benefits. And if he passes away before she does, and let's say, you know, he's now 79, well, she gets to inherit part of those delayed retirement credits. She can never get 100% because she took it early at 62, but she will definitely receive up to 82% depending on the reduction month that she chose to collect the benefit.
Let's move on now to Medicare. Let's talk about when you should sign up for it and when do the enrollment periods, because it's my understanding there are several key enrollment dates that are very important if you're going to apply for Medicare.
Exactly. So that's one of the things we all need to remember. Medicare starts at, it's offered to you at age 65. And if you're collecting Social Security benefits at 62 and you become 65, well, we already know that you're on the record. We will automatically send you that Medicare card. But if you have not applied for Social Security benefits, you need to apply 3 months before you become 65 for the Medicare, and you can apply at our socialsecurity.gov for Medicare. If you have the exception that, well, maybe you will continue to work at your employer until past your 70s, there is no need to apply for Medicare at that time because you currently have health insurance through your employer. And if that's the case, when you terminate employment, then the week you terminate employment, you would file for Medicare. You would need to bring a letter from your employer to document that you had coverage from 65 to that moment, and you would enroll without a penalty, without a gap, for the Medicare Part B that pays 80% of your doctor bills.
What about a situation, let's say you just found out that you're supposed to apply for Medicare, but you don't apply 3 months. Okay, so now it's the month of your birthday, or maybe it's a month after you turn 65. What happens if you didn't apply beforehand? Are you penalized?
No. You still have 3 months before, and then you have a time after your birthday. So, and you know what, Jim? I'm really glad you're asking me this because this is the information everyone needs to be aware. What is the time period? And all I'm going to say for all our listeners is apply 3 months before your birthday. You still have a little bit of time after you become 65, but then Medicare becomes effective the following month. And if you miss that entire period, then you have to wait for the general enrollment period, which is January through March of every year, and it becomes effective July of that following year. And if you miss the period, then the premium is going to cost 10% more per year.
So not only are you going to pay more, you're going to pay 10%, but also you run the risk of not having medical coverage, and God forbid something happens, you have a heart attack or something is diagnosed medically, you don't have anybody to cover it. Let me give you a situation like that and tell me what happens. Let's say that I forgot to apply. It's a couple months after I turn age 65, and then I apply, so therefore there's a delay period when I get the benefit. But let's say between the time I get the benefit and finally apply, something happens to me medically. Let's say I go to a doctor and they find something serious. What then happens once I get on Medicare? Will Medicare pick up the cost at that point?
Well, because it becomes effective the following month from the month that you applied. If you didn't apply 3 months before you became 65, then it's effective the following month. So if you had no coverage, or let's say you didn't apply, yes, you would have no coverage under Medicare. You would still be eligible from that month on, but if your services were rendered the month prior to that, there is no insurance.
Okay, but let's say for the month that you didn't have insurance, Medicare doesn't cover that. You're out of luck. You're out of pocket. But then the following month, you are now on Medicare. Will Medicare pick up any drugs?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. The month that you are insured, that's not a problem. The concern is what happened the month prior to that. So, yes, you would be fine. You would have your Medicare.
Now, the one thing about Medicare, Yolanda, it doesn't cover every medical expense. So a lot of seniors get something called Medigap insurance, which picks up the part that Medicare doesn't cover. Now, there's all kinds of plans, I think, from A to what, Q or A to M and N. I mean, there's like numerous different programs that cover different things that Medicare doesn't cover. For example, medical cost when traveling abroad, or various parts of the program, from whether it's drug prescription or hospital stay or other things like that. How can a listener find out what each one of those programs covers? In other words, if they're applying for Medigap insurance, do they want A, B, or there's one often known as the Cadillac program? How do they find out about that?
Well, lucky for California listeners that we actually have a health insurance counseling advocacy program, and this program really exists in every single state. So you need to find out, depending on the state, you can call Social Security and they can tell you who's the program that can help me monitor this. And in other states, it's called the State Health Insurance Assistance Program. But this organization, what they do is they can evaluate what type of medical needs you have, what are the prescriptions that you use on a daily basis, and then they could almost put you in a plan. Actually, they will put you in a plan that's most favorable to you, that's affordable, and that will be in addition to the Medicare Part B. So that 20% that you would have to pay out of pocket now is under a different, like you said, a plan. Of course, you will have to pay a premium for that insurance as well. But you now have something that's pretty solid. And I would be happy to give you this phone number for California residents, and it's 800-434-0222.
One more time.
800-434-0222. So that's the Health Insurance Counseling Advocacy in the state of California. If you're outside California, it's called the State Health Insurance Assistance Program, abbreviation SHIP, like the ship. And you can look that up online and get their phone numbers for those other states.
I want to shift gears on you, if I may. We have a lot of situations today where you have single-parent households, women who are single. And I know that you have spent a lot of time, or Social Security has spent a lot of time, trying to educate women in terms of their benefits. Or even if you're married, let's say your husband was the main breadwinner, and he's making decisions that may not be fully aware of how that affects you as a spouse. What can a woman do, whether she's single or, you know, she's married?
I love this question. Thank you so much, because I am always promoting. I have a great book. It's called What Every Woman Should Know. You can find it at our socialsecurity.gov website. You can download it. You can order it. If you work for a church group, I would say order hundreds of them. We would be happy to share this, because this book, What Every Woman Should Know, covers everything you just highlighted, from the name change to being a victim of violence in a family violence, information about your children's social security numbers. Who pays taxes? How much does a couple or a woman have to pay taxes on their social security benefits? Planning for that retirement. And what if you become disabled? What does a woman do? You know, if your husband dies, what ways can you maximize social security? But what about all these widows? And let's talk about the widowers too. But what can a widow do? If you've had a 10-year marriage duration, you might want to inquire, okay, let me see, what spouse would be the person that I would want to file Social Security benefits? Because, you know, if you've had two marriages and you're now single, maybe you want to find out if one of these previous spouses, you could be qualifying for additional or higher entitlement benefit on their record. And this is all found on What Every Woman Should Know.
How about a general booklet on, let's say, Social Security and Medicare itself, in the sense of, you know, the things that we've been talking about, 75% of your benefits if you retire at age 62, full benefits at 66, file and suspend, all the different things that encompass Medicare and Social Security. Do you have a booklet that explains that? Because I think one of the biggest mistakes, at least I've seen in financial planning, is people applying for their benefits early, not realizing they're only getting 75% of it because they think it's not there.
That's right. So Understanding the Benefit, it's another great book for everyone to read. And we're talking anyone that's 18 and over should be reading Understanding the Benefits. That really hones on your family benefits, your Medicare, your retirement. But then we also have, Social Security has so much literature. We have a really good handout, a handbook for Medicare that can guide you on the special enrollment situations on the Medicare Part A, B, D, the Medigap, and what happens if you leave the country. You know, is Medicare covering you? The answer is no, unless you were, going from one point to another, but not on vacation type of thing. But all of this information, yes, we have one on Medicare, understanding the benefits, what every woman should know, and it's all available not only in English, but we have them in several different languages to read this material.
And let's talk also about your website, because a lot of individuals that may be in their 50s, early 60s, they're thinking about retirement, but maybe they forgot what their benefits are. Let's talk about setting up an account and where they can get this information, because it's going to be important whether, they eventually retire and then they set up a Medicare or apply for Medicare, or they eventually apply for their Social Security benefit.
So you can visit socialsecurity.gov for government, create an account. You have to be 18 years of old, have a valid email address, social security number, and a U.S. mailing address. So once you log on to this My Social Security portal, you have such a wealth of information. You can review your statement to see how many years you work paid into Social Security, keep track of every single year to make sure that all the years are correctly posted. If you are receiving benefits, you can get a benefit verification. You can get a Medicare replacement card, change of address, direct deposit, and not to mention, duplication of a Social Security card, depending on the state that you live on. But all of this really is the best tool for anyone that wants to find out what's happening to Social Security, because I don't know if you, the latest, that's actual information. Stephen Goss, the actuary, they just did the 75-year projection plan, and they've now concluded that in the year 2035, if Social Security doesn't get fixed between now and then, we can only afford to pay 79% of all benefits. So that's the material. That's the information you look at when you request My Social Security account. It's telling you what are the current facts.
Well, that's a great way to start. So if you were to make recommendations, let's say for people that are out there now, they're maybe getting close to retirement, they're thinking of Social Security and Medicare, what would you recommend they do? Do you recommend that they go to the site, set up their own account, and begin with that?
Exactly. Start out with a My Social Security account. And then from there, use our retirement estimator, because you know that statement we used to send you 3 months before your birthday that would calculate your benefits? Well, we stopped sending that in 2010, so now you go online and you can create it, although we did start sending it again every 5 years, but I wouldn't want to wait 5 years. I wouldn't want to know exactly today what will my benefits be, because that statement that we mail you is just projecting an amount. If you use the retirement estimator, it can calculate your benefits based on your actual Social Security earnings record as of today. So if your scenario is, I'm going to retire from work before reaching the age of 62, what will my Social Security monthly benefit be at, whether it's 66, 67, or 70? That's the real dollar that everyone should know. And then you plan on that. X amount of dollars, where is the rest of the income coming from? Because Social Security, it's not enough to live on. It's just enough basically to keep most people out of poverty. And this is the message. Create an account. Educate yourself. Find out what your benefits will be if you become a widow. You can get that information by looking at your spouse's record. You would check whatever his record is. He can tell you, okay, well, mine's, $2,000. Obviously, as a widow, you would get half of that.
So there are a number of things that you mentioned. Let's kind of summarize for our listeners. So the first thing that you want to do is go to the Social Security website, set yourself an account, and then start taking advantage of learning what your benefits are, what they've paid in. You can use, as you just talked about, your Social Security estimator. So if you're thinking of retiring 3 years, 5 years from now, you'll get a better feeling in terms of what your benefits are going to be. But also just educate yourself in terms of how Social Security works, the different ages, what are the advantages, 62 versus 66, or let's say suspending and not taking it to age 70. So there are a number of booklets out there, and the one that you mentioned, which I'm glad you did, because it's something I see all the time, and that is what every woman needs to know. Because whether you're married today and your husband is making that decision, you know, you're the spouse, and more likely, you're going to be the survivor. So you really want to know what those benefits are. So you can inform your husband, say, hey, this affects me. And if you do this, this is going to affect both of us. So those are the things you could get at the site. Yolanda, as we close, why don't you give out the website and the phone number as we close?
Well, it's www.socialsecurity.gov. Our phone number, 1-800-772-1213. This phone number is available from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you decide you want to walk into an office, please be advised that all offices close on Wednesdays at noon o'clock. Otherwise, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, offices nationwide are open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So again, Wednesday, the office closes at 12, but our phone lines are open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
And I might point out, Yolanda, I've heard this from my own clients, I've recommended it, and I've also done it myself. Applying for benefits online is so much easier than trying to make an appointment, get down to an office, and talk to somebody. If you don't understand your benefits, then I assume that you would recommend then make an appointment with Social Security, go down to the office if you're not sure which direction to go or what those benefits are.
Well, even better, right? I mean, people do need to ask questions. And, you know, you need to stay informed to choose, when should I start collecting my benefits? But if you go to the website, you look at our questions and answers, I think everybody will be more informed. And then you can just book an appointment, and it could be a phone appointment, so you still don't have to come into an office. We are happy to do telephone appointments for you if you choose not to file for the benefits online. But I would say about 90% of the people that apply for benefits online are so happy because it's so easy. And if you're born in this country, we have your birth certificate in most cases, so it's not like you need to bring in the documentation to the office.
Well, this is super. Well, listen, Yolanda, as always, we appreciate you coming on the program and keeping our listeners informed, because each day, 10,000 boomers head into retirement. So they're either going to be collecting Social Security or applying for Medicare, and it's important they know the differences, the times, the dates, and all the options that are available to them. Once again, thanks so much for being on the program.
Oh, thank you for inviting us to be in your program. Thank you, Jim.
It was interesting to note too, Jim, by the way, that she said if we don't do anything, it's going to really be in trouble.
It's interesting that here's somebody that works for Social Security that says it's headed for trouble. By 2035, they're only going to be able to pay out 79% of benefits, but nobody's talking about this on the campaign trail. Well, we will. But anyway, we've run out of time as usual. On behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here for Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, well, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.